Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm Bella.
And before we get started, please don't forget to subscribe, share, and like this video. We're 100% self-funded, and we're very grateful for your support.
All right. So let's get started. Another week of headlines in the clown world. And let's actually get started with the, I guess some would consider it bad news. I consider it great news, which is that Charlie Crist has just considered his new running mate. And it is none other than our arch nemesis,
Carla Matz. Carla Hernandez Matz, who has now dropped the second name Matz to appeal, obviously, more Latina and make sure that she meets the requirement under her white,
her white handler,
that she's to be the Latina runmate for Charlie Crist. And we've been actually documenting her for a little bit over a year. I don't think a lot of people knew who she was. We personally didn't know who she was until we started attending the school board meetings. And it's thanks to that we got her under a radar. I know Bella has done a lot of exposing, especially on Carla, and especially on the sexual assault and harassment cases that are happening still till now in the Miami-Dade school board or school district. Honestly, it's something that I think we had even heard from the grapevines that Carla was being prepped for a higher role. I think they had told us something
was definitely going to be considering her for a role. The first welcome, if you will, that we got from Carla Matz was when parents organized to go to attend their first school board meeting. It was something that was happening organically all over the country.
Yeah.
And being as tapped in as we were with local efforts, parents really wanted an opportunity. I remember we were having the APC meetings at that point where we were gathering 150, 160 plus people at these monthly meetings. And we asked the public what was the topic that they wanted to basically push against local government on the most. And well, the response was overwhelmingly the kids being masked and the 100% concern over the mandated pharma juice, which was something that the teachers union was very heavily advocating for at that time. Of course, at this point, we had no idea about the involvement that the local teachers union had when it came to everything from curriculum to clearly safety protocol. We attended our first meeting again very organically and very just innocently excited about the opportunity of, you know, going down and talking to these elected officials and watching parents. I remember neither you or I spoke at this event.
No, we haven't spoken at any event.
It's
something that really triggers them. It really, really triggers them, especially Billy Corbin, especially Jenny Lee Molina. It really pisses them off that people that have no children have platforms that are able to lend our platforms to parents. For some reason, this is like, it's like we pay taxes. So if I fucking feel like going to a school board meeting, I'm going to go.
Simple. It's the argument that we've made this whole time. Like my tax dollars are used for the education system. And more than that, look, I may not have kids myself, but I do have godchildren and nieces and nephews. And as do a lot of people that are a part of the school system. I've seen parents have to pull out their kids from the public school system and put them into private schools. And that shouldn't have to be something that they have to do. Now, if we can lend our platform to something that would be beneficial for our community, like it is in protecting the children of South Florida, then we're absolutely going to do it. And this idea that you can discredit our voices because we don't have children is completely asinine, because I pay taxes just like anybody else in this county. You know, we went to that first meeting and it was honestly just from such a genuine place. Parents wanted to be heard. Parents wanted to give the school board an opportunity to listen to them and act on it. And the first introduction that we had to Carla Matz was at that first school board meeting before any parent had the opportunity to even speak. Carla Matz got up on that podium and said that people weren't parents, that they were being What did she call them? That they were extremists?
That they were outright
conspiracy theories?
Go look at their website. They're talking about the fraudulent election. Like, you know, all of a sudden it became a political statement and a political divide and narrative from who's supposed to be the president of teachers union, which is supposed to just represent teachers, parents, and people in the community. But she's very partisan, very, you know, let's I'm sorry to cut you off. Let's not forget that she did endorse Andrew Gillum for governor.
Yeah. Well, we were doing a little bit of research prior to this, and I was looking at the AFT, so not the United Teachers of Dade, but the American Federation of Teachers, where Carla Matz is the vice president of, I think donated something like $12 million to Democrat causes and then something like $75 to Republican-led causes. Right. It's ridiculous to assume or to even believe, because there is no assumption. The teachers union likes to present itself as a bipartisan organization. And the fact is that numbers don't lie. I mean, you can just go through their feed, their public feed on social media, and that will tell you everything that you need to know about the political partisanship of the teachers union.
Mm-hmm. Anything from mass to curriculum
to abortion, as a matter of fact,
to gun control. As a matter of fact, back in April, when the parental rights bill to education was being passed, Carla Matz, the mayor of Miami-Dade, Laveen Cava, and all the Democrats had this pro-LGBT, say gay rally in Miami Beach that I attended. I wanted to see what they were up to. And I have a bunch of video content of her and everybody else just talking about how, you know, important and powerful these LGBT kids are, and how, you know, DeSantis is trying to turn Florida into, they went as far as obviously comparing him even to Putin and Russia, right, and, you know, the whole narrative and whatnot. And to me, it's just incredible to see that someone who's supposed to be protecting children is pushing this ideology onto these children. Right. And all the people that support it. And I don't care what people say that, oh, you know, there's queer kids, it's LGBT kids, it's about their identity, it's not about sex. Let's be honest here. It is about sex. It's very much about sex, because your friend coming out as gay, he's telling you that he likes to sleep with men.
Correct.
Or if your cousin comes out as a lesbian, she's telling you that she likes to sleep with women, with another woman. So this is essentially what Carla Matz wants for kids in school. She's fighting to have in the curriculum everything that is pro-abortion. I think, doesn't Planned Parenthood also donate to the teachers union?
Yep, they all do. The teachers union, they're all involved. I think one of the things that's most bizarro to me about the entire situation is that Miami-Dade just has a historic majority conservative. We flipped the board, which, yeah, by the way, Alex did correct me, because he is correct. To the media, it sounds like Miami flipped to a conservative board. One of the representatives that was elected did run as a conservative. They're supposed to be bipartisan, but does run as a conservative, and has voted like not a conservative for the last year and a half, yeah, and so on. So we don't have a full majority, conservative majority, but let's look at what it is that the voters basically said these primary elections, which is that they went out to the voting to the voting booths, and they said that they agreed with Governor DeSantis when it came to parental rights. They elected two endorsed candidates by the governor that, again, advocate for parental rights. These were two candidates that actually ran campaigns that were anti-union. Mm-hmm. Miami-Dade was very loud and clear. We flipped two seats. One of them, Perla, who had been had held her seat for 26 right. years. Marta Perez had held her seat for 24 years.
They're really holding on to Marta Perez.
Yeah, they're really holding on to Marta Perez. And, you know, to see that this has been the overwhelming response from Floridians, because it didn't just happen in Miami, Florida, and happened in five other counties that flipped to a fully conservative majority. I think something like 13 other counties were able to flip seats that had been held by liberal members with conservative members. And then to see the Democratic frontrunner for governor choose something that's the complete opposite of that. Like, talk about a losing strategy. The people just told you they're for parental rights, they're anti-union, they're anti-over-involvement involvement and overstepping from the government in the way that they're raising their kids. And then Charlie Crist goes out and chooses the demon of teachers union herself, Miss Carla Matz, who believes that parents are not equipped to have a say in their children's life. Mm-hmm. She's made that very clear,
right.
Over the last year and a half, that the state of the country has really called for parents to be more involved in their children's lives. And the only thing that the parents here in Miami-Dade County in particular have received from Carla Matz has been deep opposition in discrediting parents, and almost to a point where it's been criminal.
Dehumanizing. I'm gonna go ahead and say that Carla Hernandez, who's running as lieutenant governor for Charlie Crist in Florida, has dehumanized conservative parents across Miami-Dade and across the entire state of Florida. She doesn't care. You have no rights over your children. If you're a conservative parent and you have concerns over critical race theory, over the gender stuff, you have no rights in her eyes, because she wants to take your children and indoctrinate her to them to her liking. That's a
fact.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's not just the children of Miami-Dade.
She's a predator. She's a predator.
One of the things that's really terrifying about Carla is that enough people, they're like, oh, the president of the United Teachers of Dade, which, yeah, she's a great problem for us down here in Dade County when it comes to the activism in pursuit of more parental rights. But Carla is the vice president of the American Federation of Teachers. Carla is out there making decisions that affect and impact the way that the entire country, it's what the entire country looks at when they're sending their children off to, when they're sending their children off to school. And this is a teachers union that has already very openly come out and said that they're going to push the gender ideology regardless of what state it is, regardless of whether or not it's legal or not. The teachers union has said that they're going to push against the Second Amendment. They're going to fight against the Second Amendment. They're going to, what else were they going to, the election rights for mail-in ballots. I mean, you name it.
Well, they were the ones behind the protocol. Remember when the stuff leaked, we talked about it on one of our earlier podcasts, that it was the teachers union who was embedded with the CDC, and the reason why that kept, they were basically dictating the guidelines to open schools.
Absolutely.
When the CDC kept saying that it was based on science and data and and the experts, it was actually the teachers union, the national teachers union, if I'm not mistaken, the ones that were colluding, the AFT, that were colluding with the CDC. So they're extremely powerful. Very powerful.
Well, not the AFT, but the NEA, which is the National Educators Association, is actually the single biggest labor union in the entire country, which is part of the reason why they're so influential. But also, here's the idea that you have to think about of what makes unions dangerous, particularly when it comes to election time. You've got an entire body that's now very easily mobilized by the fact that they all belong to this union. So the biggest union has, I don't know what the number is, let's say 100,000 members or 50,000 members or whatever the number is. Now what you have is these 50,000 people that are being mobilized by a politically driven union to go out and vote. Like, hey, we're going to let you guys leave early today at noon so that you guys can all go out and vote. And clearly the union has been out pushing all these Democratic candidates. So now what you have is the force of the union, not to mention the fact that the unions have money backing them. So the union takes the money that their organization gets through contributions, donations or whatnot, and then they use that money and weaponize it against parents by politically donating and supporting candidates that are anti-parental rights.
I wanted to talk about the tweet from Juan Carlos Planas really quickly and the way that they're coping with Marta Perez. So Juan Carlos Planas used to be a Republican legislator. He's now a Democrat, as he describes himself, because, of course, the party of Trump is fascism, blah, 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 blah. And he is a huge propagandist on Twitter. He's also a professor at St. Thomas University, which makes me think to myself, why aren't we writing to the dean and asking that this man be suspended for his clear bias? Because now you're going into the classroom to teach these kids about law. What we were doing is indoctrinating them into being Democrats and social justice warriors. But
doesn't
anyway,
Carla's husband work for St. Thomas University as well?
I don't know about Carla's husband. But the point is that one of the things that they're holding on is that they say that Marta Perez was barely, or that Monica Colucci, who took over that seat in the school board, she barely won. You know, that they outspent Marta Perez 3-1. and she barely won, and that because DeSantis did this, there is a bunch of voters that for the first time ever are going to vote for a Democrat because they hate DeSantis' agenda.
Bullshit.
This is quite literally the delusion of Democrats. But they start presenting themselves this way. And I had a conversation with somebody else earlier. It was Anthony, where they start telling you what they want to do.
Yeah.
For the last 4 years, they've been building this narrative that Florida is not that red because DeSantis only won by 25,000 votes or something like that. Very small margin compared to Andrew Gillum. What people don't remember is that DeSantis won the night of the election in 2018, that night. Per usual, what Democrats do is, no, he didn't win. Okay, we need to keep counting votes. That should have been a red flag for us to know what was going to happen in 2020. So they kept counting votes for a whole week and magically finding all these ballots and boxes in Broward County and Palm Beach County and Dade County and different precincts around these three extremely corrupt counties. But it wasn't enough votes to be able to flip the election towards Gillum. So they cope with the fact that they say Florida's not that red. DeSantis only won by 0.4% or 25,000 votes. And therefore, this time around, we can flip the election. Now, remember, conservatives are overly confident because they see all this stuff of DeSantis. And they don't understand that Democrats are the poll workers. Democrats are the ones that are registering people to vote. Democrats run the election committees and all that stuff. So if you run everything, it's an easier chance for you to cheat or do shady shit.
Fact.
That's a fact. So people need to start volunteering as poll workers. Bella did it a couple times, right? Yeah. They need to start understanding that they cannot be overly confident, especially having this woman that comes from the teacher union money, national teacher union money, not just her
that are
county.
Very vested in mail-in ballots.
They have a lot of Democrat mega donors, very vested in mail-in ballots. People cannot get overly confident. I can't emphasize
no, I
this.
Can't stress. I think I that can't part stress of the importance enough. Of talking about Carla is truly, like, I don't think that anybody in our base is going to go out and vote for Carla. Like, there's nothing that Charlie Crist could have done to make Republicans want to vote for him. However, what we do need to be very clear on is that this election is incredibly important for us Floridians. I gander to say that it's important for the entire country because Florida is the freest state in the entire country. It might be the freest point in the entire world right now. All that to say that this election will not be a walk in the park. They are putting all the union money behind Charlie Crist. The selection of Carla as the lieutenant governor candidate makes a lot of sense because they have to go against everything that's going on, right? Everything that the Republicans are doing. And what's on the ticket
very
right
dirty.
Now? What's on the ticket right now? It's not who the next governor is going to be. It's quite literally the children of Florida. It's, do you want a governor that's going to go out there and do the work of the teachers unions that, again, are for mail-in ballots, are for abortion, are anti-gun, are anti-America, pro, radical LGBT gender agendas for small children? That versus a governor that has spent the last 2.5 years fighting for parents, for parental choice,
for small businesses,
for freedom.
Yeah.
So to me, I just think that the topic of children and education is truly something that's on the ballot right now. And you don't need to have kids to truly ask yourself, do you want a teachers union that advocates for abortion? Do you want a teachers union that advocates for vaccine mandates? Do you want a teachers union that somehow is incredibly vested in your voting system and transitioning over to a mail-in ballot system? If not, then I don't care what you have to do that day. I don't care if you have to work, if your kids have football practice, if you have dinner to cook. You need to find the time to go out and support Governor DeSantis, not just in November when it's time to vote, but we've got, 72 days from now until the election. And it's incredibly important that people get out there and start knocking on doors, start going to phone banks, start passing out flyers, get a flyer of Governor Ron DeSantis and put it in your house. Whatever it is that you need to do to demonstrate the outpour of support that our governor should be receiving at this point, because he is up against a Goliath right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of children and Carla Matz, so just so you guys know, Carla Matz is in bed with the local Antifa or wannabe Antifa. Carla Matz plays extremely dirty. She's actually been arrested for fighting for the DACA kids or something. Mm-hmm. And obviously, she's not an called an actual insurrectionist who was arrested, I think, at the state, at the DC Capitol for fighting for DACA rights. And Carla Matz is embedded with the local Antifa because they do dirty work for her on that anonymous account. In fact, the account Miami Against Fascism on Twitter was started for Carla. It was started to defend Carla and to intimidate parents to not attend these meetings. We're going to dox you. We're going to ruin your life. So they started this anonymous page to defend Carla Hernandez. That's really what it is.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does coincide. It was her PR company. After her PR company makes the visit 3 months into going to school board meetings, the PR company comes and does a quick assessment of basically assessing the damage, first time in decades that parents have been showing up in mass numbers to school board meetings. For the first time ever, the teachers union is seeing incredible opposition from the parents. So the PR firm shows up, does a quick assessment, and determines that the parents are becoming a problem for their client, right, the teachers union, a.k.a. Carla Matz. What ensues from that point forward is that a fake Antifa page is created by her PR firm that is then used to dox, slander, and intimidate parents and activists that were showing up to these school board meetings. Mm-hmm. So they're still at it. And in fact,
today, the Miami Against Fascism page, now being operated by Billy Corbin, along with Jenny Lee Molina and Sonia Diaz from All Set Out Communications, today they were talking, or they were basically mocking parents, some of the parents who were in tears on that podium. That's what they were doing. They were mocking parents because Governor DeSantis has these parents' backs. And this is what Carla Matz is. She may be operating or may not be the face of Miami Against Fascism, but it's 100% them defending and doing PR for them.
And doing
dirty
PR work for
just so you guys understand
how capable, how far these people will go to maintain their position of power.
And speaking about how far people will go, just yesterday there was a drag brunch for children, because that's what we do now. We have drag brunches for children. It's totally normal. It's just part of our culture now in Texas. Some random place in Texas. I can't even say the name.
Well, that's just the thing. It's not even random. Like, number one, it's a distillery. It's called Anderson Distillery. Why are there kids at a distillery, for starters, for a drag show? So they're out there for this quote-unquote drag brunch. Approximately 20 children and multiple self-proclaimed teachers. Groomers. Because it's one of those things where now grooming the teachers that are groomers has become synonymous with the fight for trans kids. I don't understand where the logic is or why that's the hill that Democrats have chosen to die on. I don't understand why that's the hill that the education department seemingly across the entire country has chosen to die on. But apparently the best way for teachers to advocate for their children is to take them to drag bars.
Drag brunch. And so about 20 Antifa? No.
20 children, several Antifa. They said they were everywhere. They said
there was like 50 Antifa members
across the street.
Basically, now we have Antifa militants fully armed with AR-15s protecting drag brunches for children. Let me repeat that again. There's now armed communist militants in Texas, which is supposed to be a base state, the free state of Texas, protecting kids inside of drag brunches, ready to shoot you in the head if you try to stop that from happening. I don't know if people, like, this is something that Anthony says. There's this thing about conservatives that makes me want to punch the wall. And it's one of those things that says, this will never happen in Florida or Texas. They love saying that to a Californian or a New Yorker because they're in a shittier state. This has not only happened in Texas, but it wasn't Dallas. It wasn't Austin. It wasn't Houston. It wasn't a big Democrat city. This is a smaller city where supposedly you're going to have all these base Christians and conservatives go protect children, and they can't even get near the door because they got bodied by all these Antifa members, communists, that had AR-15s ready to kill you.
Welcome to America.
And it's not even being made a big deal by anyone in Congress or anything like that. Proud Boys merely show up at a school board meeting and there's 20 newspapers writing about it. Proud Boys are taking it over school boards. DeSantis is working with the Proud Boys. Proud Boys and Moms. Moms for Liberty is a terrorist group. But a bunch of Antifa show up ready to fight for global homo. And they don't say it. They don't want to talk about it.
I mean, Linda, let's look at the example. I mean, we have the Summer of Love of 2020. We saw what Democrats justified from Antifa.
Yeah, but usually what I'm trying to say is that conservatives love to say that it's never going to happen in Texas. Never going to happen in Florida. And it's happening in these states as well.
Of course, it's happening all over the country. We're seeing it happen all over the country. You know, I feel like,
wait, but that's not only before we move on from Antifa. That's not the only thing that Antifa did this weekend. I also posted on my Telegram. There was this priest that I guess go through downtown Portland just preaching the word of God, minding their own business, exercising the First Amendment right. Antifa got to downtown Portland, assaulted them violently, like with violence, stopped them, and they went after a woman reporter and the girl was reporting the whole thing. There's videos. And she's saying, she's like, I think that there's so many conservatives disconnected from Portland, right? That they're just like, who cares? Portland's a piece of shit. It's just a communist, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people have left as well, even Democrats that just can't live there anymore. They don't realize that Antifa has quite literally taken over downtown Portland.
Right.
Like, it's not only the homelessness and the drug use, but it's also the fact that these communists have been able to terrorize business owners to the point where they've been forced to close down or just basically give up.
Yeah, imagine getting doxxed in Portland as a Trump supporter and being a business owner in downtown Portland. You can't live your life.
So this is my question to conservatives. Like, how far do these people need to take it? Is it going to be that they're going to come into you, that you're so scared to like do anything that you're just going to give them your kids? Because at this point, that's what they're doing.
Well, I don't think that it's scared, right? Because people never say like, oh, I don't want to go out there because I'm scared. Usually it really always goes down to, oh, well, I was too busy to show up at that event. Or I was, you know, I have too much going on. I have a job. I can't be going to school board meetings. Or I don't think that it's fear. I think that it's a complete disconnect from how bad it is and this idea that you can just continue to put it off. Somebody else will handle it for you. Mm-hmm. Somebody else will speak for your children. Somebody else will speak for your conservative values. And this is where we lose. Because we time and time again, we're going to be met with a group of people that are very radical with their thinking. And
they're willing to use violence.
And they're willing
in
to
the,
use...
In the Antifa handbook, which we have read, and I printed it out and took it to Miami New Times, they literally said that it's okay to use violence against a Nazi. And right now, we're all labeled as fascist Nazis.
Right, they're calling moms Nazis.
They're calling mom Nazis. Today, the Seminole GOP office was vandalized also by Antifa. A few days after the president of the United States calls MAGA Republicans fascists or semi-fascists, we wake up on a Monday and Antifa has vandalized a GOP office in Seminole County in Florida.
Well, because it's all a radicalization that's happening. What do you think? That's exactly what happens when you have the president, the installed cabbage acting as president, going out of their way to call more than half of a populace Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they discredit. I mean, you and I talked about this already, which is people talk all the time about like, oh, you know, it's going to get really bad. It's going to get really bad. It's already very
bad. It's really bad.
You really think about what happens next, like historically, what happens when you have a leader of the greatest country to ever exist, the United States, get on a public platform and say and discredit half of the country, to completely dehumanize half of the country, to write us off as Nazis and extremists.
Semi-fascist. Well, nobody knows what that means. I guess it's kind of fascist, but not that fascist.
A little fashy?
What I also think that people need to realize is that there's no coming back from any of this, right? Because the next step, as we've said many, many times, it's not just going to be the trans ideology. It's love is love. Love is love means also pedophilia.
Correct.
right? So if you continue to give these people the benefit of the doubt, like I hate it when conservatives say, I don't care what what you do as an adult. I care now. I care because now we have those adults that we let transition or that we said it's okay. And to be fair, I'm okay with the Civil Rights Act, which means that based on your gender identity or your sexual preference, you're not denied housing opportunity or banking and you have equal rights. The problem is letting these people take over a culture because now you have normalized it. And now we're reading stories about kids that are there was a girl that I was reading about right before we started the podcast. She's 18 years old. She had a double mastectomy when she was 15 years old, started transitioning at 13 with chemicals, double mastectomy at 15 years old, and now she's detransitioning. She has no breast, okay? Her voice is barely coming back. She still sounds very manly, and she's going to be scarred for life. So, and why, how did it get there? Because we normalize the adults.
And who holds them?
We normalize the adults. And nobody's held accountable.
That little girl is screwed up for life. And, you know, are her parents held accountable? Yeah. Are the doctors that operated on her held accountable? Are the universities that trained these doctors and told them that this was okay practice held accountable? Are the politicians that fought for this to be legal, are they held accountable? Nobody is. You have more and more stories. And guys, this trans movement hasn't been going on for that long.
Here's the thing.
We're already seeing repercussions. We're already seeing more of these detransition stories. We're talking about what realistically? The last three, maybe the last three, four mm-hmm. years, the hard push for gender, for trans kids.
Yeah.
This, we have no idea what the long-term repercussions of this are. And already in such a short window of time, we're already seeing the long-term damage and effect that this is having on our next generation of children.
Today, actually, Governor DeSantis signed into law, if I'm not mistaken, that Medicaid is no longer going to pay for these transitions.
Good.
And our friend Billy Corbin, who's obviously a huge fan of ours, has a problem with that. And I have a problem with the fact that Billy Corbin has positioned himself as this Miami spokesperson. Okay, number one, you don't fit into our demographic. You're not 70% Latino, so you just don't even belong to the majority of the population. So you don't speak for us, right? No, that's the first thing. Secondly, you have a lot of people, even conservative business owners that I know myself, who many times want to be cool with Billy Corbin. It's like, why do you keep supporting the guy that not only is behind this fake Antifa page, doxing parents so that his reputation doesn't get ruined, but is also for body mutilation and legal castration of children?
Yeah, I mean, taking over the Antifa page was just a very recent thing after these right. Jenny Lee and Sonia got caught. My thing is that Billy's allowed to operate like this openly. Like, his disdain for Cuban Americans is not a secret. His disdain for Latinos is not a secret.
For
his
women. Disdain he hates for women.
For
he
Christians, women. For anybody who believes in the word of God. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a man who's allowed to openly operate in our society mm-hmm. and is lifted up. But again, you know why that is? Because there isn't enough people pushing back against him. I don't just have a problem with Billy Corbin. I have a problem with the likes of Jenny Lee Molina as well. These are people that are grifting and trying to identify themselves with the 305 Miami culture that, newsflash, was built by people that left communism. Right. And I know that you love right. to cry like, oh, there they are calling us communists again. But you are.
You
openly advocate you for
communist.
Silencing people like Linda and right. I who believe in a different political ideology right. than you are. Mm-hmm. And in case you don't know that, that's what your family ran from, Jenny. From that political persecution, the way that you treat us, the way that you think it's okay to dox our businesses, to try and get us in trouble with the law. You try to get me arrested by the FBI because I had the audacity to show up to Washington, D.C. and protest just like your friend Carla did.
No, she accused me of violence because I made an amazing art meme of Miami anti-fash falling of a helicopter.
Truly Picasso.
I hope it goes in the Hall of Fame of memes one day, but she literally accused me of inciting violence when these are the people that call you a fascist and then it's their people that show up the next day to try to bomb Sabatini. literally. Like, she, Corbin, and Sonia are the ones that incite actual terrorists to want to blow up a Florida legislator. That was you guys. You guys did that, by the way.
That's your hard work.
Absolutely.
You know, this is exactly why, which goes on to the story about Mike Tyson that recently did an interview with Newsmax. And they the first thing is that they do ask him about his take on politics. They talk about a lot of things, but they ask him about his opinion on politics. And Mike Tyson, heavyweight champion of the world, nobody messes with Mike Tyson, says that he doesn't want to talk about politics because he's just going to upset people, and he's concerned about how his friends, business partners, etc., could potentially feel about him speaking politics. Because he then goes on to say, when I was younger, I was very liberal. And now that I'm older, out of just common sense and an idea of what's safe for my kids, I'm more conservative. Clearly, he doesn't want to say what the elephant in the room is, which is that clearly Mike Tyson is a supporter of Donald Trump and a supporter of Ron DeSantis, because he's a Florida resident, and they asked him about Ron DeSantis. And we're still we're really living in a time where the heavyweight champion of the world has to be scared about speaking out about his political beliefs, which should be protected in this country. So then again, to go back to the point about Jenny Lee Molina, who hates when people calls her communist and likes to roll her eyes and say, "Oh, that's just trauma." No, Jenny, the fact that what's his name? Tyson cannot go on TV and speak out publicly about what he believes in politically, even if it contradicts what you believe in. That is communism. That is the entryway to exactly what your family fled from. It really boils my blood. Because,
by the way, for people that don't know, because a lot of people don't know because they're not from Miami, just so you guys are understanding, because we're not going to stop talking about these people. Billy Corbin is the filmmaker behind Cocaine's Cowboys, and a few other documentaries. So he has a lot to lose, because most of the people in the documentary are actually conservatives. Pitbull, who I think is part of the documentary as well, is a conservative.
Pitbull actually helps Jenny Lee Molina with her events as well. But again, so, there you are grifting the culture.
Right, correct.
What do you think Pitbull would say if he knew?
And he will know. I promise you, he's going to know.
I think he will.
He's going to know.
What do you think Pitbull's going to say when he finds out that you have perpetuated the attack of conservatives through this fake Antifa page? You think we don't have the overwhelming amount of images of actual criminals that you all send to school board meetings to harass parents?
Brandon Cain.
Taking down names. Brandon Cain, the same man that was just arrested for putting up a flyer, scaling a wall and putting up a flyer, who vandalized a family center, allegedly.
We have text messages of him that he would literally kill a Nazi. And by definition, everybody who's not a Democrat is a Nazi.
Yeah.
We have those text messages. These are your people. These are the people that you sent to the school board meeting.
And just so that we're very clear, we say your people, these are Carla Hernandez Matz's people. This is your Lieutenant Governor hopeful for the Democratic Party supports and associates herself with a group of influencers and journalists down here in South Florida that have hid behind a fake Antifa page to actually radicalize real Antifa. We have a very small presence here.
Right.
To protect and support Carla Hernandez Matz. Everything about this page was created to support and take care of Carla Hernandez Matz. And we told you guys a year and a half ago, we weren't going to let it go. And we're definitely not going to let it go now just because Carla got selected. In fact, even more reason for us to remain louder and to tell even more people that Carla Hernandez Matz protected a serial rapist that was allowed to operate in the Miami-Dade County School Board for over 10 years, raped close to 20 different girls. And Carla Matz and the United Teachers of Dade Teachers Union made excuses for him while he got shuffled around from school to school and continued to rape kids. And not only did they do that, but then they got together with the Miami-Dade County School Board and made sure that the victims of these kids had to sign NDAs so that they wouldn't be allowed to talk about their abuse. That's Carla Hernandez Matz, your hopeful Lieutenant Governor, Democratic hopeful with Charlie Crist.
Fact. And with that being said, guys, don't forget that we have new merch on my store for now while we update the Mostly Peaceful Latinas actual website. So if you guys go to wakeupwithlinda.com, you can purchase some of our merch, you subscribe to the newsletter, and you get 15% off. Once again, we are 100% self-funded, not like Carla Max that gets all these freaking donors, and it's owned by the lizard people and by Charlie Christ, who's also a closeted homosexual, but that's a story for another day. So with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and like so we can keep growing. We'll see you next week.
See you guys next week.